This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Come on in here and get your around the NBA COVID news. It's hour number 3 of the G-Bag Nation. No Gavin Dawson. You hear Chris Arnold riding shotgun?
Got you down.
Brian brought us here per usual, and Lucius Alexander is in the Pimp Cup. We've got a three-pack here of around the NBA stories. The biggest one probably that we got more coronavirus. We got more coronavirus. Here the NBA is trying to push Zion into the playoffs, and the Pelicans are just out here getting coronavirus. Three members of the Pelicans and a couple of members of the Denver Nuggets staff that is planning to travel to the bubble have tested positive for COVID-19.
Coach,
Head coach.
Nuggets facility was closed Saturday. They found at least one more positive test among the team's 35-person group scheduled to travel to Orlando on July 7th. Of course, they also had Jokic test positive in Serbia. Coach Michael Malone tested positive. So before the facility was closed, players were allowed to participate in socially distanced workout with coaches. Pelicans executive VP of basketball ops, David Griffin, said three of their players contracted coronavirus and currently are in self-isolation. So hopefully these updates are just that, hey, this was what was going to happen. Before they got ready to go to the bubble, everyone was going to get tested. You're going to get guys in, you're going to get everybody tested, and if anybody tested positive, you get them quarantined for long enough, and hopefully the players who have not tested positive are also going to quarantine so that when it's time to go to the bubble, we can go to the bubble and we can play sports. Because I'm going to be honest with you guys, I kind of need it.
Yes.
I kind of miss it.
Yes.
We kind of do a five-hour show.
Right.
And I would sure appreciate if somebody would roll a ball out and play a sport.
We haven't watched a live sport that wasn't golf or overseas since
NASCAR.
Since March 11th. March 11th. That's a long time, 3.5 months, man.
Over 100 days.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours strong. 877-881-1053 is the Autoflex Leasing fan text. If you wanted to text in and tell us that you still love us, we sure would appreciate it.
You're done.
We missed the sports.
You're done.
What do you guys think? This is just the way that it was going to be, and here we go?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, the more testing that we can do, you know, and they're starting to find out things about folks that are asymptomatic too, as well. You know, there's, you know, hey, there's 40% chance of this and that. And, you know, it's as long as we continue to test, there's going to be folks that have this. And, you know, if you can get it early enough before they get into the bubble setting, again, I go back to Dr. Fauci and what he says. It seems like the right plan, his estimation of, hey, this might work if they can get everybody there healthy and get them in and then close things off, then we might. I have a feeling about the NBA. I think that the NBA is going to, you know, weather this, and they're going to get through it, and they're going to have a season, and they're going to have a champion. I don't have the same thoughts so much maybe about hockey. I don't have the same real thoughts.
Why not?
I don't. I with hockey. I just think that they haven't even decided what cities are going to be. You know, we've heard about Bubble Town in Orlando a long time. You know, I'm just looking at the operations side of things. I'm thinking about the guys, the men and the women who on these teams are going to be responsible for moving these teams and making sure that these teams do have 7-foot beds and their dining hall is taken care of and they have all the right things that they need. You folks, I tell you what, if you were to talk to these guys and gals that do this for a living, this is no easy task moving around, and now you're dealing with a pandemic. You know, so now you have to be even more mindful of what's going on and close things off and make sure, you know, you can't leave anything unchecked. And so I just, with hockey, I want to believe, I really do, I want to believe that we're going to have a Stanley Cup champ. But right now we're still trying to figure out where the bubble cities are going to be. You know, and that's, you know, they're talking about Vegas and, yeah, the hotel space, do you have enough ice space and all these things like that. And, man, it's just, it's tough. That part of it's tough. Football, you know, NFL is going to power through. I talked about college football earlier.
Yeah,
I have my doubts. I do think that basketball has a chance because I feel like that they've been on this since the jump about what they needed to do.
You know, this comfort and structure and knowing what you've got to deal with, that's what that what makes everybody feel comfortable about the situation. I, at first, when the leagues all paused and the NBA was the first one to just hit the brakes and everybody said, whoa, this pandemic is for real. But initially in April, I was thinking, well, the NHL had a great plan because they were talking about, we're going to North Dakota. Oh, Dakota. That sounds like a plan. That sounds pretty cool. That's wide open spaces. You got ice rinks up there. Then you didn't hear anything. Then the next thing I heard was Vegas, and then they named a couple other cities. Dallas was in the running.
Vancouver, Seattle, Dallas, yeah.
And the last I heard, and I was still feeling comfortable, was Toronto and Vegas, and then crickets. So that doesn't lead me comfort in thinking that they're going to start this thing up in 10 days.
Yeah.
And their players' union said, we haven't heard very much. And I'm thinking, well, how many of those guys actually been out on some ice lately? So that made me not have as much comfort as knowing what the NBA has been trying to roll out. The NFL has been so secretive, but they've been doing business as usual, and they haven't had to have the training camps yet. So you're like, okay, they're powering through, and we'll see how it unfolds. But the NBA, you have all the little details, even though you know about just like this latest thing with the Denver Nuggets and coronavirus. It's like, okay. But this is what people are conveniently forgetting. Way back in March, it was Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz. They had a couple of, oh, wait a minute, there's some Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant's got it. Oh, wait a minute, there's some unknown Lakers that got it. So we've been hearing reports of NBA players and NBA people for months. So this is just the latest, and we know that's part of the equation. Adam Silver said it best. He said, look, they're all bad options, but this is the better of the bad options of the hand that we're given.
Are they forcing it? Are they forcing it? Because seriously, like, we call it bubble town, but it's not a damn bubble.
Right.
It's if there's people that are still going to be working there and going home, it's not a bubble. They're exposing these people to stuff every single day. When you get like two or three cats on one team knocked out, that's about it.
Yeah.
Now your team is looking funny. You might have to go get some scrap players.
Right. Now it is being forced because they want to get the revenue in. The revenue is part of the deal because if they hit a 70 game schedule, the TV money kicks in. And if they don't do that, then guess what? The players union and the owners agreement, that agreement is void. It's called a force majeure. It's because of a pandemic. Yeah. So everything is off the table. They don't want to wind up like baseball arguing over labor. So they say, okay, let's get this thing done and get these games in. And they call it a bubble, but it's more like an Olympic Village.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to be perfect.
Ooh, lots of making love.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking to Brian about this off the air yesterday.
Were you? Because that's what I think of when I think of Olympic Village.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. All the rubbers. I was talking about Brian. I was like, Brian. Well, that's what they do. They count up all the condoms. I was asking Brian, I said, okay, so how many people? 35 per team. What about family? Well, in the playoffs, you can bring three family members. Might be a girlfriend. What are these guys going to do? We're talking about, you know, if they got medication stuff. Well, what about the women?
I think they need
Are they going to sneak out the bubble?
They're
going to slide some women in?
They'll figure it out.
Yeah, I think they need a separate town for women. Bubble town woman.
Right. Or men.
Bubble town.
Or men. Or she just needs to stay.
Yeah.
There's some rooms you need to stay.
Well, you got
to
get, that's the incentive.
Bubble butt.
Get in the playoffs.
Yeah, they say you got to get in the playoffs.
That's incentive right there enough.
There you go.
Let's not worry about the money. Play your rear off for more people to come
in. Get your girl in here.
There you go.
For real. So it won't be perfect, but you know.
Who's going to be the first guy to opt out and be honest about it? He's going to be like, look, I'm not going because I'm accustomed to doing different things every night, and I don't think I can do them there, and I'm not signing up for that for months.
The teams that don't really have a chance, I guess.
I thought Portland was the team.
So many guys, I don't know.
They're like, I'm not so sure about doing this.
It might be the Brooklyn Nets. I think Dinwiddie and DeAndre Jordan, they got a little coronavirus too.
And Jordan's opted out.
Right.
He said he's not going.
Yeah.
All right, that's some Around the NBA for you. Jeff and Brian's segment of the day is next. And Brian, where are we going with that?
We'll keep the NBA talk going with some Dallas Mavericks.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It's nice to see you. How you doing there? This segment is brought to you by Soda, state-of-the-art weight loss. And it's time for Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. I am Jeff.
I'm Brian.
He is Brian.
Hi, guys.
And he's got you covered on some content here.
By the way, those Soda people can help you. Give them a call. They did me that way.
Looking good.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, let's keep the Homerism things going here. How about our theme? I got a group, the Smoking Cuban. Those guys, they do some fine work over there, right?
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. They're going to give you 5 reasons why the Dallas Mavericks can win it all.
Okay.
So
LeBron gets hurt.
Yeah, let's just, why not? Yeah, well, let's not.
And Kawhi.
Yeah, exactly. But let's Jokic. 5 reasons here. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go through them. We're going to give you one. Number 5, Rick Carlisle. They say about Rick Carlisle, a veteran coach that has led his team to a championship before, is a valuable asset. Rick Carlisle won a championship with the Mavs, as we all know, in 2011. He's used to playing the underdog role. Nobody thought Dallas would win it all that year. Dirk Nowitzki led a veteran group to the championship with Carlisle at the helm.
Okay. Yes, they have an awesome head coach. There's no doubt about that. And I think this is pretty much totally unrelated to number one. But if I wanted to make the case, I think my number one would be...
Oh, this is number 5.
Okay. I think my number 5 would be then, or my only one, because this just popped into my head, is this is a year where I feel like it's totally possible that a random team wins. Because there is no home court advantage.
Right.
It's not something anyone has experienced before.
It's wide open.
Uh-huh. And so maybe that does fare better for teams with veteran leaders like Kawhi or LeBron.
Right.
Or maybe it doesn't, because it's just it's a totally random thing that no one has experienced and knows what's about to happen.
Right. This is one of the reasons to piggyback on what you were saying, though, Jeff, because of Carlisle. They said the Mavericks have a young team and an inexperienced roster. They will have to lean on Carlisle more. You know, he has them producing historically great offensive numbers.
Yep.
Can he find a way to navigate the Mavs to the title in 2020? We'll see. But nobody thought the Raptors would win it all in 2019.
Exactly.
You know, so we know how that turned out.
Got a little good fortune there.
There we go. All right, Rick Carlisle. We always talk about Rick. We like Rick.
Oh, yeah.
We think Rick could be an advantage here.
Kind of a jerk face sometimes.
He
could
be jerk
face.
Yeah, I like him as a coach. He can be jerk face all he wants as long as they win. That's all that matters to me.
For sure.
Number 4. The format, they say. Youth and inexperience are often negatives in NBA playoffs. Teams usually have to travel to ruckus arenas to win road games. That's not easy, but will that not be a part of the NBA's restart in Orlando?
Right.
The league format this season may favor youth. The NBA scheduled the games to take place from July 30th to October 13th. If the finals go all the way to Game 7, that means the winning team will play a minimum of 24 games in 76 days. Let's be realistic, though. No team is sweeping their way through the playoffs this season. We see that happen quite a bit.
I think that there are a lot of positives for the Mavericks here. For instance, what happens in an NBA series when your team goes on the road? Gavin talks about this a lot, right? Your superstars play well.
and the benches don't travel.
The benches and the role players tend to struggle yep. in the, quote, hostile environment. Exactly. There is no hostile environment.
Nope.
And your team is built around scoring a ton of points. And if you're, quote, role players, which is Tim Hardaway Jr. and Seth Curry and mm-hmm. some of the guys that are the reasons you can drop 130 any night, there is no hostile crowd.
Right.
There is no, in theory, road game or drop-off to be had. And so, yeah, look, I can talk myself into it until you actually asked me, can they do it?
Yeah.
But up to that point, I can drop a lot of reasons for optimism.
Well, we see the referees get influenced by the crowds, too.
Yeah.
We've lived that. But not this time.
Yeah, so maybe yeah. we won't have that being a problem. But again, they talk about the Mavericks being a young team with Luka being 21, Porzingis 24. The only active players in Orlando over 30 will be J.J. Barea and Boban.
Right.
Be the only two.
And Boban could be a factor. And J.J. is a factor because of his experience. He's yeah. got a ring, and he was a secret starter. Nobody yeah. saw that when Carlisle inserted him. That's showing you the experience of Carlisle. He was smart enough to start J.J. in the finals against Miami, and it worked.
Yeah.
One other thing about Carlisle and the Mavericks being young, Luka is young, but he's extremely experienced. He won the MVP of the EuroLeague, won the title at age 18. So he's been through pressure situations at a young age.
See, that's the thing about it is, I was hearing, Chris, and I don't know if this is true or not, that JJ was a little miffed by his role this season.
He was. I talked to him about it. In fact, I talked to him about it because I talked to Rick. I said, Rick, how come you're not playing him? Because there are big moments where he showed up when you played him sparingly, and then you're just not letting him play. He goes, I know exactly what JJ can do, and I'm saving him for the playoffs. I got to see what these other guys can do. In other words, he was trying to let these guys grow into big moments. It's kind of like Nelly used to make Michael Finley shoot the game-winning shot at the end of each quarter. The quarter was going down. He always forced the ball into Finley's hand so he'd be comfortable in pressure situations. So he was growing this young team because he already trusted JJ and knew what he's got. JJ was getting some frustration. I said, I already talked to Rick about it. He already knows what you can do, man.
I was seeing some time on the bench, though.
Oh, he was upset, yeah.
He looked kind of, and
it was because the Mavericks were losing these games, yeah. more games early in the season. It was like, we need to be
I can add some offense.
We can win these games. Yeah. But you had to get the young guys the experience of learning how to win those games on their own.
All right. Reason number three, guys. They're saying is depth. We're talking about it right there. Mm-hmm. Depth.
Yeah, he's always had a big bench. Yeah.
They're saying this. Winning a title takes contributions from every player on the roster. Mavs fans will remember Peja. Remember him having mm-hmm. two 20-point games during their 2011 run, despite only averaging 8.9 per game during the regular season. Or J.J. Barea, you mentioned that, Chris, making multiple key contributions. It takes something special from everybody in the rotation to win the ring. One of the Mavs' biggest strengths this season is depth, and it will be hurt slightly because of the injuries in Orlando. We talk about Powell and Brunson, Courtney Lee, Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, he's going to be out, but that means the Mavericks have only 14 healthy players for the restart. But they were talking about they wouldn't be surprised to see DeLon Wright drop 20 in a playoff game, mm-hmm. where we talked about Boban again, 15-15 against a team like the Nuggets. The Mavs roster is flush with role players that can step up in a moment. That's how teams overachieve and win rings.
I'm glad you brought that depth story up because early in the season, actually all the way through January, there were a lot of people saying, well, he's playing nine guys now, but he's going to tighten that thing up for the playoffs. I asked him about that. I said, there are people who think that you might tighten your rotation. He goes, nobody knows what the hell I'm going to do. I'm playing these guys for a reason.
Is that a myth?
What?
Why do I always, you know, that's one of those things.
A lot
things.
Of teams do.
If you don't know basketball, the first thing you throw out there is that real smart thing. Oh, playoff time, they're going to shorten the bench. You know, and you sound real smart saying it. But is that a myth?
It happens a lot. Jeff's right. It happens a lot. But Carlisle is a wild card because he knows what his players can do, and he knows situations. Like I was telling you yesterday off the air about Courtney Lee.
Yeah.
Courtney Lee is a Bradley Beal killer. Nobody knew that in Dallas, but Rick looked at the tape when he was with the Knicks, and he goes, I'm going to start him against Bradley Beal, and he shut him down.
So I'm thinking about throwing a challenge flag. I just want you guys to know I'm thinking about throwing one here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because, like, yeah, depth is awesome, and it's not a solo sport, so obviously a bunch of people are going to have to help you if you're going to win a championship. But, like, last year, was it more about Fred VanVleet or Kawhi Leonard? The Golden State ones, were they more about Iguodala or Steph Curry and Klay Thompson? And, you know,
if somebody got hurt, you had to have a Fred VanVleet step up.
Yeah, but like Golden State, or they lost their
Golden State had four. They had superstars, though, right?
Right, and when they lost them, it was ball game.
Yep.
Yeah,
and they couldn't beat the Raptors.
Yeah.
So I get it. Like, yeah, you want to have a bunch of guys that can contribute, but the NBA and winning championships is more about superstars.
It is about the stars.
Else.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But if you're talking about the bench, there are some people who feel like you only use two or three guys off the bench. The rotation goes down to seven or eight guys.
Denny Smith?
He's a Kleba? Hell of a role player.
Yeah, okay.
There's three guys that are interchangeable.
Curry we talked about, Hardaway. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are big pieces, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. Carlisle said, who said I'm going to reduce my rotation? He likes the way he utilizes these players. It's like a chess game to him.
You with that, Jeff?
Yeah, I do. Especially
you don't have your challenge flag team anymore?
I like the premise of the point, but it'll be more about Luka and KP than it will be anything else.
Uh-huh.
But once you move past that, I do like that conversation that for Carlisle, it's like, okay, what does this team have? Is this a game where I'm going to put Kleba on somebody?
Yeah.
Is this a game where Boban's going to play 12 minutes? Mm-hmm. Is this a game where Dodo's going to be important? Like, yes, I think that he's a great tactician, and I love that they have different guys that can do different things. My challenge flag was just the idea that there's anything more important than the superstars. That's all.
Okay.
That's all.
I understand that. Golden State.
Superstars are the best.
They wish you had some superstars. Okay, number two, why Dallas Mavericks can win it all, the offense.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a strong correlation between playoff success and offensive rating. Jeff, this is right down your wheelhouse. Since 2014, every team that has made it to the NBA Finals was in the top five in offensive rating during the regular season. The team with the top mark has made it to the finals four times in the last 10 years.
Oh, let's go.
Including winning two championships.
So the Mavericks have a 40% chance to go to the finals and a 20% chance to be the NBA champion.
There we go. I like it. The Mavericks have had the best offensive rating since the season by a wide margin. They sit at a 115.8, which is 2.4 points ahead of the second place Rockets, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Celtics to round out the top five. That means four of the top five are in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got to navigate the West.
How about this, though? Dallas does not only have just the top offensive rating this season. Their mark is the best in NBA history.
Yes. The most efficient offensive in NBA history.
The top five all-time, three have won the championship, with the fourth being the 2019 Warriors.
Oh, remember, and they were hurt, so that's four out of five. Yep. So the Mavericks have an 80% chance to win the
title. There you go. You're talking about right there. So
let's go.
Luka could be difficult to stop, they're talking about here, but the chemistry between the two stars is improving. We talked about that a bunch. The Mavs have cast the role players to help Luka and Porzingis thrive. Their offense could be the difference maker in Orlando. Mm-hmm. Would that be your number one reason, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, Chris? It has to be.
Yeah,
outscoring people, just raining threes. Luka's getting people open looks. You're being efficient. Porzingis is scoring inside and out. I think that's what they hang their hat on.
To show you how good the team is as far as being a team, and like Luka and Porzingis are superstars of being. Luka's already in the MVP conversation. But they beat Denver early in the season without either of those guys. Both of them, either one of them was injured and one of them was in foul trouble.
Yeah.
The bench, I mean, that's when the whole team realized, wow, we're really good. Hmm. And in Milwaukee, they stopped Milwaukee's winning streak without Luka. They've won without Porzingis playing well, so without him playing.
Okay, number one, and we'll finish it up, is because they have Luka.
Yeah.
Every NBA champion has a superstar at the top, and the Mavericks have one in Luka Doncic. The 21-year-old may not seem ready for the biggest stage, but his history in Europe says otherwise.
Uh-huh.
I think this is a really, really obviously unique year where this is the best you could hope for. It's weird because I'm talking about the coronavirus existing, but for the lower seeds,
mm-hmm.
It's ideal. You're taking away hostile crowds. Mm-hmm. You're taking away officials being swayed by the crowds. Mm-hmm. They're the only advantage to being the higher seed is the fact that it probably reflects you were the better team throughout the year. You don't get your building. You don't get your fans. You don't get the swayed officials. So I think it's a year that more than ever, a team could overcome the you have to take your lumps idea of postseason.
Lucius
right?
is right. I think he had to be able to survive the coronavirus, too.
If that'll be big.
If everybody
wouldn't it be something if the Mavericks were the only team that didn't get it?
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, because we're talking about the depth and things like that. But, yeah, if all of a sudden they're losing their super, if Luka's out.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of like, we're talking
no
about.
No Luka, no Brunson, they're done.
KP went bonkers without Luka. What are you guys talking about?
Yeah, he did. But you got to have Brunson, too. I mean, Brunson's out for sure. You got to have a ball handler. And, and so Luka.
Oh, JJ, we talked about JJ.
Let's go.
JJ time, there you go.
He'll never get old.
He'll never get old. There you go, Jeffrey.
All right, thank you, Brian. Coming up next, we go around the NFL here in the nation. Thank you, Lucius. This segment also brought to you by Ultimate Choice Roofing and Remodeling. And it's time to go around the NFL. I guess brought to you by Ultimate Choice Roofing and Remodeling. They'll enjoy getting that two-time in there.
Yeah.
They'll enjoy that. Brian, what do you got for us for
You know what?
Down?
I almost took your Shine 9.
Is there a Shine 9 out?
There is, but I'll let you have the Shine 9.
Oh, no, we just may have to use that later in the show. I have to see.
You want to lead with it?
No. He's currently banned from the show.
He's got some players that have to have a big year. I thought maybe you were going to use that one, but I'll talk about this one. How about our boy Odell Beckham Jr.? Everybody's tweeting at him right now saying, hey, OBJ to New England? Question marks? Stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Alex Cam Wood, Newton's even the Dodgers pitcher, Alex Wood, he's like, OBJ to the Patriots before the season is done. Bank it. The wide receiver even quote tweeted, you can find me in some land, homie. We got unfinished business
in
here.
The land.
Cleveland.
The Cleveland.
Back off. You don't know anything about being a Browns fan, Brian.
I didn't understand
right.
The land.
The land.
Is that Cleveland. What they, is that, okay, well, I learned. Land. I shouldn't even have used this one because I didn't understand when he said the land. I'm thinking, oh, it's okay. It's Cleveland.
Okay, it's not water or air.
I'm such an idiot. But yeah, the trade rumors swirl around, because of what happened to him in 2019, the injuries that never developed the rapport with Baker Mayfield. You get a new coach there. You know, he was saying Stefanski says he's 100% back. I think we've even talked about that before that he's 100% back, but. How about some unfinished business there in Cleveland? I'll tell you what, though.
1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns coming up.
Well, why not? He can't do that with Cam in New England?
Well, he could, but he likes it in the land. He's
no,
got
he
unfinished
doesn't.
Business with Baker.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Go to New England. Go be a hero.
I would rather be in Cleveland
no,
than
you wouldn't.
Boston.
No, you wouldn't.
Yes, I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Boston's terrible.
How many? Okay, let me. I hate to do this to you. Have you been to Cleveland?
No.
Okay.
But I've been to Boston.
Gotcha.
Wait, you said you liked a pizza next to Fenway Park.
Yeah, I had a slice of pizza next to Fenway that was fine, but Boston's got a reputation. I don't want any part of Boston.
Okay, I see.
I'm gonna stay
I see
out of Boston.
I see what you're saying.
Good move.
I'll be a Cleveland man.
The land,
as they say, I guess.
Cleveland rocks. Cleveland
WMMS.
Rocks.
If it's too loud, you're too old. Okay, but that's it, man. Your boy is going to stay. Jeff's, by the way, Chris, did you know this? That Odell Beckham is Jeff's, he thinks he's the best receiver in the NFL.
Is that right? Not CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee can't be the best yet.
Oh, okay.
Give CeeDee a year
currently,
before I start talking about him.
Currently is LSU's own Odell Beckham.
That's
Jr.
why I always do stories about him because of the LSU ties. Mm-hmm. I hope you're learning that.
He's really good.
He got recovered. Listen, you try with playing 16 games with a sports hernia. Let me know what your stat line looks like, all right?
I have been to Cleveland and I have been to New England.
Is he still married to the field goal net?
That was unfortunate.
They had a falling out.
That showed some LSU education there doing that.
I thought they were forever.
Yeah.
Second down, Chris Arnold.
Speaking of wide receivers, Randall Cobb, now with the Houston Texans, has put out a tweet. He's telling all of his NFL player brethren, get on the conference call Thursday. They're having a NFLPA conference call talking about what to expect when they off when they go off to training camp. And some of the things that's going to happen on this call is they're going to talk about, of course, COVID-19 and the conditions that are spread around the league, some of the underlying conditions that other players may have. Remember, even Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP from DeSoto, got COVID-19. He overcame all of that, but he had asthma. So yeah. They're talking about some of the underlying conditions that some players might have. I mean, everybody's not Superman, but you got sleep apnea, asthma, high HMI.
And
higher risk of developing severe symptoms and complications when affected. So be careful about that. But they're also going to talk about the money. NFL players and the league itself makes billions of dollars, according to this press release. This memo sent out to different players. The NFLPA collectively bargained into a percentage of that revenue back in February when the NFL and NFLPA split up billions of dollars. That leaves players in a position to make life-changing money. If less money was allotted to the players, NFL owners would not turn around and gift the extra revenue to pay teachers, nurses, and other workers more money. The shaming of players. Say, don't let the owners do that. To take less compensation will only further line the billionaire owners' pockets. So don't let the owners trick you into thinking you should take less money. So that's where they're delving into some baseball talk. Hopefully they won't.
Yeah, because if you are taking in less money at the gate and the agreement between the players and the owners is a percentage of revenue and mm-hmm. revenue is lower, I mean, in theory, every player should take a pay cut, right?
In theory.
But then the NFLPA will fight that and say we have our contracts and we want all of our money. And I don't know. I don't have a dog in that fight, you know?
Yeah, but I have a feeling that you'll get through this year and then I think after the season is when you'll see the owners start to step up and say, okay, this is what we need to do for 2021. These are some of the guidelines that we need financially mm-hmm. that we have to. We didn't make enough money. I'm sorry. You know, even though the TV contracts and stuff are on the horizon, but the owners they'll say, poor me after this season. Trust me, that will be the first thing.
Oh, you know they will.
That is the first thing that they're going to say is, poor me, we didn't make any money, and they're going to try and put it off on the players.
Fine, as a player, I'll accept your pay cut, but we'll take a portion of the franchise.
Ooh. You know what's so wild is when some, not just sports teams and owners, but like big businesses, they'll say, oh, we lost money. Well, they didn't really lose the money. They just didn't make as much money as they projected. They projected to make $9 billion, but they only made $1 billion. So we're going to cut back on everybody.
So I guess some of you fools out there got to go. Everybody else is here.
We didn't get that $9 billion. Yep. We only made $1 billion. Oh, our projections were off. Got to be careful about that.
All right, third down. Speaking of receivers, and this will be a nice tease to what's coming up next, as we got Mike Lombardi, brought us his buddy and former Patriots front office guy. He'll be joining us at 5 o'clock here at the top of the hour. And he's being disputed, Brian. Now, Michael Lombardi and JT the Brick, the radio man.
Yeah, both, out of
JT.
Vegas. Yeah,
JT. Yeah, slaving over a hot microphone. I know JT.
He was in L.A. for a while, a long time.
Yeah, JT the Brick and Michael Lombardi both agree that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are interested in Antonio Brown, who is
played. Oh, we broke that news yesterday.
I know. I'm just saying the other people who are reporting this are saying yes, but here comes the problem. Those rumoruskis started surfacing.
Mm-mm.
ESPN's Diana Russini jumped out there and said, hey, the Bucs ain't looking at Antonio Brown. Not at all. So what we have on our hands is a good old-fashioned source fight. Choose your team. Is Antonio Brown on the radar of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And might they sign him? Because people are also pointing back to in 2019 when Bruce Arians said, he wasn't a fan of the changes he's seen in Antonio Brown over the years.
Mm-hmm.
He was his OC in Pittsburgh, and he said there's too much miscommunication, too much diva. I've heard so many stories.
He's concussed.
Extra and carrying on he does on the social medias.
He's concussed,
all that extra and carrying on.
He's somehow got a bag of gummies shaped like phalluses. Throw it as
there's some women that got they like those.
Yeah, new fine arts. You can get you some, bro.
He plays as hard as anybody on Sunday, and he practices hard. He's just got to make better decisions off the field, be on time, do some of those little things. That's something that Bruce Arians said last year about Antonio Brown. So it's time to dig in and choose your fighter, Diana Russini or Mike Lombardi and JT the Brick. Choose your fighter.
Oh, I'm going to go with my best man. Even though it didn't work out very well for me at the end of the day, I'm going to go with him. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just telling you, to me, this is very much like Tom Brady is calling shots there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they got Gronk to come out of retirement, you know, that whole thing.
That's hard to do, talk him out of drinking all day.
Jason Light is, you know, he had nothing going. Then all of a sudden, Brady falls in his lap. Everybody's picking him to win the division. Everybody's picking him to be in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady's the one saying, hey, man, you need to bring this guy in. Uh-huh. What is this guy going to do? Well, hey, I've already got two of the best young receivers. Yeah, I know, but this guy right here playing in the slot is rare. You think so, Tom? Oh, I know so. I know so. I know, not slow. I know so.
Don't you trust me? You got me here.
Don't you trust me? Don't you want to help me? You know, oh, yeah, I'll help you, Tom. I'll help you. I know where this conversation's going.
He'll be riding the bench. They're going to run a two tight end set, Brian.
They're going to move some of these tight ends. They're going to play Gronk, and they're going to move OJ. One of those. They're going to move a couple of those tight ends. Get ready.
They're going to move one of them, maybe.
They're going to get a third round pick for one of these guys. Get ready.
Oh, you're putting in the call. I like that. And also, I would like to update everyone. Today is June 30th, and the Cowboys should still sign Jadeveon Clowney as soon as possible.
Can we do a YouTube video on this one?
Probably will after the show.
Okay.
Go ahead and sign Jadeveon Clowney, Cowboys. Stop fiddle farting around. Go ahead and build up that D-line. One-year deal. You get a comp pick later for it.
Oh, this is
weird. You
don't
have to trade anything.
Get her done.
There we go.
Let's go.
Get her done.
Let's go. That's around the NFL. Brought to you by who I told you it was brought to you by. Coming up next in the G-Bag Nation, we will talk to the best man of Brian Broaddus' wedding. Works for The Athletic now, correct? Formerly of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, he's got a lot of things going on in his life.
Mike or Michael?
I call him Michael. You can call him Mike. He's okay. Yeah.
Michael Lombardi joins us next in the Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.